All right, well, hey, this morning, if you couldn't tell from everybody else, we're going to be asking you guys to move. Now, you don't have to get up and dance, you don't have to pack your stuff up, not move like that, but this morning and this year, we're going to be focused on and asking you guys over and over and over again to be willing, to be ready to move. All right, because the reality is, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter if this is your first time at church or your millionth time at church, each and every one of us, all the time, guys, we are constantly moving, right? We are constantly going a new or a different direction in our life. It's impossible to stay in the same place. You guys might have heard the phrase before, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You can't stay here, all right? So think about where you are right now and let this sink in. You can't stay there. You won't stay there. No matter how hard you try, you will never be able to stay in the current position or current reality that you're living in. All right, so this morning, again, and all year long, we're going to be asking you guys to move. If you've got your Bible, open up to Acts chapter 2. Last week, we learned about a time where the Holy Spirit came in and moved in a huge way while somebody was speaking. They called it Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down, moved. Everybody could understand what everybody else was saying, even though they were all so different, spoke different languages. And the Bible tells us that on that day, 3,000 people placed their faith and their trust in Jesus. 3,000 people who were separated from God. 3,000 people who were destined to, when they died, spend an eternity apart from God. 3,000 people came to know Christ in one day. So when you look at that early church and you think about those believers, the church went from about 120 or so people to over 3,000 people in that one day, right? An incredible movement of God. Look at verse 41, and we looked at this last week. This is just to catch us up. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says this. It says, so those who received his word were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 souls were added to their midst. So 3,000 brand new people became a part of the church. And my question is, what I wonder as I read that is what came next? All right, you guys have had a great time, hopefully, this morning. It's been good to see that the different groups come in. LA did an incredible job leading us in worship. And I know that you guys would love to stay here all day, all night, this entire next week. But at some point, our time this morning is going to end. Right? At some point, we're going to move on to the next thing. So think about what these guys did when that incredible service ended. Think about what these guys did when 3,000 people placed their faith in Christ, 3,000 new believers. What came next for them? They had to take a next step, right? They had come to know God, right? They knew God. They were in a relationship with him, but now it was time for them to grow in their relationship with God. And guys, that's the heartbeat of our church. We've said it over and over and over again. We want people, right? We want to. I want to. Hopefully you want to. Guys, we want to know Jesus. And once we enter into that relationship with Jesus, we want every single person to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And this is what I know, because this is what I've seen, and this is what God's Word teaches. It doesn't matter if you're in 6th grade. It doesn't matter if you're in 12th grade. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher that's sitting in the back. Each and every one of us, no matter where we are in our walk with Christ, not only are we capable of growing and learning the things of God, we are called to grow and learn the things of God, right? So they knew God, and our heartbeat is that we would grow in our relationship with God so that, everybody listen to this, so that we're equipped to go for God, so that we're equipped to go out and tell the people that don't yet know God how much he loves them, so that we're equipped to go out and tell people what Jesus has done in our hearts so that he can do the same in their hearts as well. Know, grow, and then finally go. Good job. He beat me to it. And so as we pick up in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see those that came to know God taking steps to grow in their relationship with God. And as we do that, this is the question that I want you to have running through your mind, right? Christianity is brand new, right? Jesus had just been on earth. And we're going to see these first Christians taking steps to grow in their relationship with God. And I want you to be thinking about how if you were to take these same steps, how you could also grow in your relationship with God. We don't just want to see what people have done. We want to see how God has set this up so that we can follow his plan and grow in our love relationship with him. Okay, if you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to open up his word to our hearts and to our minds as we study together this morning. Pray with me, please. Just with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I just want you to say a simple prayer in your head and your heart. And I want you to ask God to open up the truth of his word to you this morning. Just ask God to teach you what his word has to say. Ask him to help you understand it. And ask him to help you live it out. God, we love you. Lord, we pray for our time this morning, God, that it would be for you, that it would be about you. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Help us to understand your word. And God, as we do, I pray that you would teach us more about yourself. God, we love you and thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to start off our time in the Word. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. We're just looking at a couple of verses 42 through 47. But before we do, we're going to have a little bit of thinking time, all right? For those of you that hadn't started school yet, this will tune you up. Those of you that have already started school, you should be way ahead at this point. But I want you to think for a second, and I want you to think about your relationship with Christ last year right before school started. All right, think about where you were in your relationship with Jesus last year right before school started. All right, some of you probably didn't have one, and you came to know Christ this summer or over the course of the past year, and this is a fresh start for you. All right, some of you might have been walking with Christ for a long time, but I want you to think about where you were now, then and where you are now. Sixth graders, everybody in between, adults, student staff, LA, band, I want all of us to be thinking about our spiritual journey for this past year. Where have you grown? Where has God worked in your life? Maybe this is a year where God really impressed his word on you and you've been soaking up his word each and every day. Maybe this is a year where you have grown in your prayer life and God has taught you the importance of connecting with him through prayer. Maybe this year for you, God's sort of like the skit we saw earlier, God's revealed that you've got some anger issues in your life and God has worked to smooth those out and take those away. Maybe God's worked on you being a better friend or helped you to curb your jealousy or whatever it is. Think about where God's worked. And if you're thinking right now and you're honest, right, some of you are thinking, man, this has been an incredible year and God's done really, really big things in my life and I can see how I've grown from school beginning last year to school starting this year. But I'm sure there's a couple people in the room that also might be thinking, you know what, I didn't grow that much this year. In fact, maybe I'm not even where I was last year. Maybe I'm a little bit further away. Guys, that's what we said up front. We're going to move. The question is, where are you going? Or are you moving one step closer in your walk with Christ every day? Or are you taking one step further away each and every day? Guys, this year, our hope, our heart, our prayer, from our staff to our life group teachers to your parents, everybody, is that every single day we would grow one step closer. That this would be a huge year in your life spiritually. Not just a huge year with your grades, not just a huge year with your sports or with your extracurricular stuff, not just a huge year with your friends, but that this would be a huge year in your life when it comes to spiritual growth. So let's read together and see what these early believers did. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, it says this, and they devoted themselves. That's a key word, devoted. Circle it, highlight it, star it, mark it, put a heart around it, whatever. We're going to come back to that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. There's four very specific things they were devoted to. We're going to talk about them. Verse 43 says, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, that's key, and had everything in common. They were selling their stuff, their belongings. They were taking the money, and they were giving it to people within the group as anybody had need. And day by day, they attended the temple together. They broke bread in their homes. They received food with their glad and generous hearts. And verse 47 says, they were praising God. They had favor with all the people. And look at this. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Such a huge passage in the first part of Acts here. But the first thing that I want to make sure we get, if we're going to make the choice, right? If we're going to move one step closer each and every day, guys, we need to be devoted to what matters. All right? Be devoted to what matters. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to four very specific things. All right? So let's think about what it means to be devoted. All right? In my mind, being devoted means you're all in. Being devoted means you're not going to miss it. Being devoted means you're going to make every effort to go and to be a part of it. The dictionary defines devoted as giving a large part, not a little bit, giving a large part of your time, your energy, and your resources to a particular person or cause. That's what it means to be devoted. Right? Think about the people in your life and what they're devoted to. Have you ever met anybody that's devoted to something a little bit weird? Right, how it just soaks up their time and they're obsessed with it, and you look at them and you're like, "What? Why are you doing this? Right? What is going on with you right now?" That's how I feel sometimes when I look at Timmy Jeltima and Ryan Parker and their Pokemon Go, right? They've just got this weird obsession and they're devoted to it, right? They go after it, right? And it's just one of those things that just sucks up their time, right? And I've got the same things too, right? Just different things that I'm devoted to that suck up a lot of my time. And if you look around your friend group, if you think about yourself and the things that you're devoted to, it's really easy to really quickly see where your time and your energy go, especially heading into the school year, right? People will be devoted to their sports, their band stuff, their extracurricular things, their family, their friends. Look, we can look into people's lives and see what they're devoted to. If an outside person followed me around closely and was going to look at me and look at my life to see what I was devoted to, as I thought about it this week, and I want you to be thinking about what you're devoted to, but as I thought about myself this week, these are the things that I feel like people would see. They'd see that I'm devoted to my family, right? They'd see that I'm devoted to my work and what God's called me to do. They'd see that I was devoted, and this is a little bit embarrassing, but it is what it is. They'd see that I'm devoted to Texas A&M football, and that I follow it, and that I listen to it, right? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? They'd see that I'm devoted to my friends. Unfortunately, they'd see that I'm devoted to some really silly TV shows. But this is what it means when I say I'm devoted to these things. It means that I'm there, right? It means that I don't miss many opportunities to be a part of it. I don't miss many opportunities to experience these things. These are things in my life. And remember, I only have so much time. These are things in my life that I'm devoted to. But I hope and I pray that as someone followed me around, that they would see that all of these things fall in line behind my relationship with Jesus. Right? That they all fall in line behind my personal relationship with God. Right, that's where it should all start. That's where our devotion should lie. So guys, these other things, they're okay. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them are distractions in my life. Some of them are distractions in your life. Let's think about it. See what we're devoted to and be committed to being devoted to what matters. The four things that we see that these guys were devoted to are this: the apostles' teaching. So for us, that's the Bible, right? We need to be devoted to God's Word. We need to make time reading God's Word a priority in our life. It needs to be who we are. It needs to be what we do. We need to be soaking up His Word. Listen, it seems like it should be common sense, but sometimes it's not. So studies were done, and people have spent a lot of money trying to figure this stuff out. But just know this, the greatest thing you can do, the best thing you can do, the most important thing you can do, to move one step closer in your relationship with Jesus is to spend time in His Word. It's to spend time reading what God has said. And it's not just me saying that. It's not just a bunch of studies that are saying that. Guys, God's Word tells us that. We're supposed to soak His Word up. We're supposed to meditate on it day and night. The Bible is full of promises as to how God's word will shape and affect our lives. Guys, we need to be devoted to reading the word of God. We've tried so many different ways to encourage and equip and motivate our students and our people to get into the word of God. This year in your life group classes, that's one of our main focuses. We're going to spend a lot of time in your life groups helping equip you and encourage you and challenge you to be in God's word. In life groups today, which is right after this, you'll get one of these. High school on one side, middle school on one side. No matter what life group class you're in, it tells you what you should be reading every single day. So this is a reading plan that we've carved out for you for this year that goes along with your life group lessons. You'll be able to pick this up, read it throughout the week, check it off as you go because everybody likes a checklist. And then when you get into life groups on Sunday morning, your teachers will be there to answer any questions that you have. Your teachers will be there to discuss the things that you've read with you. If you read it and you think, man, I have no idea what I read this week, that's okay. Tell them that when you come in on Sunday morning. Say, I don't understand a word that I read this week, and let them help you understand the word of God. They want to help equip you. We want to help equip you to do that because we know how crucial it is for us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. So we need to be devoted to the word of God. And second, we need to be devoted to community. Right? It says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. For us, that's community. We need to be devoted to each other. We need to be devoted to connecting with one another, spending time with one another. That group of 3,120 people or so turned into a community. It turned into smaller groups. The big group broke up, went home, and they connected with each other in smaller groups. They took care of each other. They invested in each other. They helped each other in a big way. Look up here. They helped each other in a big way move closer to Jesus, right? They helped encourage one another and hold each other accountable and point people closer to Jesus each and every day. And as that happened, guys, big things began to happen in their midst. Guys, the group needs you. Right, the group needs you, and you need the group. We've got to commit to devoting ourselves, to investing ourselves in the community. So if you're not connecting, if you don't feel like you're a part of what's going on, tell me, tell a staff member, tell a teacher, and let us help you get connected. As we read later in the book of Acts, we actually see a group of people that doesn't feel like they're a part of the group, and they tell the leaders of the group, and the leaders made huge changes to the entire group so that everybody could be a part of the community. Guys, it's that important. We're devoted to making everybody in here a part of the community, a part of the group, connected to one another. Third thing is this, guys, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. That was two things in their context. That was taking the Lord's Supper together, a communion, and that was to sharing meals with one another, connecting with each other over meals. It's an incredibly important thing to do. As they took the Lord's Supper, they celebrated and they remembered the sacrifice that Jesus had made for them as they broke bread together. It means that they were spending time together. It means that they were talking with one another. It means that they were in each other's homes, getting to know each other and each other's families. Guys, that's important. Be committed to spending time with the people in your classes like that. When your class goes to lunch, go with them. When your department does something, go and be a part of it and get connected to the group. And I promise you, it will help you to move one step closer in your relationship with Christ. And the fourth thing is this, guys. They were devoted to praying for one another. Right? They truly prayed for one another. It wasn't just prayer time before a meal. It wasn't just a random thing at a church service. Guys, prayer was a huge part of what they did. You're going to have the opportunity to do that in life groups this year. You're going to have the opportunity to specifically pray for the different people that God has put in your path. Don't worry. We're not going to ask you to come up here and pray by yourself. You're not going to be asked to pray out loud in front of your life group class if you're not comfortable with that. But you're going to be given the opportunity and encouraged to pray for the people that sit right by you in life groups every single week. You're going to be able to lift them up the way that God's word has showed us we should be lifting each other up. This year, guys, let's devote ourselves to things that matter. All right, the second thing I want you to pull out of this is this. as we're working to move one step closer in our relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you guys to be devoted to the team, right? Be devoted to the team. When you look at verses 43 through 46, you see how these guys were devoted to each other in a huge way. When believers are devoted to the team, guys, things happen that can only be attributed to God. It's not about us or what we've done, but God moves in big, big ways and does things that only He could do. We see that these guys were a real team and a real community. That 3,000, one big community, broken down into lots of little teams, but at a bigger level, they were all connected. So look around the room. All right? There's a lot of people here this morning. Look in the back, look in the corners. This is one team. Right, this is one group, one team, one church, one community. Guys, we should be one. We should be unified, taking care of one another. Look at verse 44. It says they were together. It says they had all things in common. They were an actual community that cared about each other. In verse 45, we see that they were real. Right? We see that they actually met each other's needs. They took care of one another. That's what we should be doing. But for us to do that, everybody think about this. For them to meet the needs, they had to know the needs. Right? For this group, for this church, for this team to step up and help each other out, they had to know what needed to be done. They had to know what needs people faced. So guys, this team, our team, your life group classes, your small groups need to be places this year that are safe. They need to be places this year that are welcoming. They need to be places this year where people can come in and connect and feel safe saying, man, I'm struggling with this. Can you guys pray for me? Man, my family really needs prayer over this. Man, this week was hard for me at school because this happened. Can you guys just be praying for me? I was sick. I was hurt. Whatever, this is my need. Please be praying for me. These groups were real. They were real because they were safe and people were able to be real with one another. So guys, as a team, we should be taking care of each other. Listen, we all have needs. You guys have needs. I have needs. There's things in our life that hurt, that are hard, that are tough, that are painful. There's things that we don't know what's going to happen next, and we need the body of Christ praying for us. Right? Everybody faces it. This year, this past year, one of our incoming juniors, Lillian Johnson, faced things in her life, and she just needed people around her. Right? She needed people to help her out, and so she's going to come on up. Come on up, Lillian. She knew I was doing this. I'm not just asking her to come up here. Y'all give her a hand as she makes her way up. Lillian, let me find you a microphone real quick. She's going to share her story. And as she does, I want you guys to think about what it would have been like for her if she didn't have community, if she didn't have the people around her that God placed in her life. You're on. Go ahead.
Okay, so about 8 months ago, I had surgery on my back. And I had scoliosis, so that means, like, my spine's curved or whatever. And so I have, like, rods in it now. And
You're good.
And the whole time, it was just, like, so important to have, like, all of my friends around me and stuff. So, like, before my surgery, I had friends come over, like, the day before and, like, the night before and stuff and, like, pray with me and just, like, you know, give me, like, stuff and just be, like, here. Like, I have, like, hundreds of teddy bears, just, like, hundreds. And so, like, they would all just, like, come over and just, like, support me. Like, they don't know, like, what I was going through, but they just, like, made it, like, so awesome to where it was just, like, it felt like they did and stuff. And so then after my surgery, I had so many people come up to the hospital and see me. I was in the hospital for 4 days after my surgery. And there were so many of my friends that came up and, like, saw me and supported me and just hung out with me. Because, you know, it gets really boring. You're just, like, sitting there all day. And then I was out of school for 5 weeks. And so I was at home just sitting there, just doing nothing all day while everyone was at school, and it was super fun. And so I just, like, really needed, like, all of my friends to just, like, be there and just, like, support me and stuff. And so I would, like, text them all day. I'm like, so can you come over after school? Like, please just, like, come over. And so, like, people would just come over and just, like, hang out with me and stuff, and it was, like, so fun. And lots of, like, adults and stuff would come too and just, like, pray for me. And I had a lot of the leaders here would come up to the hospital too and, like, pray for me. And it was just so awesome and stuff to just, like, have everybody there supporting me and stuff. It's so great.
Great. Thanks, Lillian. Y'all give it up for Lillian. So she had a community, right? She had people in her life that were willing to drive to the medical center and pray with her and spend time with her. She had people in her life that were willing to go and sit at her house and spend time with her and encourage her and pray with her. Her surgery was a big deal, right? She was out of school for 5 weeks. As they straightened her back out, she grew 2 inches, right? I mean, it was a big, big deal and a big, big surgery, but people were committed to her and invested in her and supported her, and they were able to do that because she was real enough to let them know what she needed. Or she told them that she needed encouragement. She told them that she needed people around, and people responded. So guys, we need to be committed to each other. The people in our church need us. The people on our team need us. And guys, we need the people that are on our team. And then the last thing is this, guys. We need to be devoted to what matters, be devoted to the team, and we need to be devoted to growing the team. If you look at the end of verse 47, we see that daily new people were being added to the church, right? Daily new people were coming in. They were being accepted. They were being invited. They were being encouraged to be a part of this community, all right? They were encouraged to be a part of the bond, all right? It's a big, big deal. It's incredibly important. Jesus says in John chapter 13 that people are going to see us, how we love one another, and be pointed to him because of that. All right, the way that we treat each other, the unity that we create inside these walls will be an incredible blessing to the community that's outside these walls. As people see how you interact, it'll make a difference in your schools. It'll make a difference in your neighborhoods and on your team when they see the unity that's brought forth by us being together as a group here at Champion Forest. So I want you to think about it, guys. This year, we're committed. You have the wristband on your seat. We're committed to every single day getting one step closer in our relationship with Christ, getting one step closer to him, growing all the time, because the reality of it is this. Guys, we're going to move. This year, you are going to move. And the question is, where are you going? My encouragement, my challenge, my hope, and my prayer is that we would commit, that we would decide right now that no matter what happens, we're devoted to moving. We're devoted to growing one step closer in our relationship each and every day. You guys have probably made a plan for school already. You've made a plan for how you're going to get there. You've made a plan for your grades. You've made a plan for your sports or your band and the different goals that you have this year. You probably have already started thinking about who you're going to ask to homecoming and everything else. Guys, you've got a plan for your year, all right? This is what I want to encourage you and ask you to do. Let's make a plan for what matters. Let's make a plan for the things that are going to have eternal value. I'm not saying don't think about the other things. I'm saying as long as we're thinking about the other things and making a plan, let's make a plan for how we're going to grow this year and our relationship with Christ. Guys, plug in. Be connected. Be a part of the group. If you normally don't stay for life groups, I want to encourage you this year to do that. Text your parents and say, hey, Mom, Dad, can I stay one more hour for life groups? Pastor Fleming right now is asking your parents to let you stay one more hour for life groups because he thinks it's that important for you as a student to be connected and to be plugged in. All right, if you guys will, let's bow and go to the Lord in prayer. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want you to think for a second about what you're going to do to move this year. Because you're going to move. I want you to think for a second about what you're going to do to grow closer to Christ each and every day. Because guys, you're going to move. The question for you this morning, the question for you this year is, where are you going? Where are you going?
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.